Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Well, after the Lord Mayor show, really, isn't it? Because after the last two nights, it's just me and him tonight. So, we've got lots to talk about because we haven't done national sport for a couple of days. And I've got lots and lots of things to put an opinion over and listen to your incorrect opinion back. So we're going to do that. We're also going to talk to Rob Orgill and have just the final sort of lowdown on the Gordon Wellborn week.
He's not going to do a joke, is he?
Oh, I would have thought so. And then we're also going to look forward.
I'm at the tea.
And then we're going to look forward to this weekend, because on Sunday, I think it's Sunday, our two super-duper primary school netball teams go and play in the regionals. And we're going to try and talk to Amy Feller, who's a busy girl tonight, because you've got something on at school, and it's just a question of making sure it's finished on time before she can talk to us, but she knows what's most important.
I met our number one fan this afternoon, and she was talking about last night's show from the Cedric Four Pavilion.
Number one fan or number one listener?
Sharon Creasy.
Yes, you've mentioned that young lady before.
Yes, and she said, "I was really enjoying the show last night, then I fell asleep."
Well, there you go.
Hi, Sharon.
I can see why you know her now. Let's find out what else has been going off in and around this great town. And we start actually in Grantham, because they've lost last season's top scorer. Luke Shaw has left the Mears and joined National League North side Telford United. Newark Rowing Club got a win at the British Masters Series last weekend thanks to their Cox Fours. And George Lepley had a difficult day at the Kilda Rally. After a series of mechanical problems, he went offline and ended up in a bog. Killer Kilda, as he says, strikes again. Jane Hendley and Sue Bilton led the way as Newark Tennis Club beat local rivals Gaunton 15-3 in the Notts Summer League. And Tuch Reid won the traditional seven-a-side netball competition to move on into the county finals. And finally, Finlay Bass battered the opposition at Mallory Park by winning by 6 clear metres. Leo, he finished fourth.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Adrian Speed told us that may happen. They would come a-looking. You don't score 20-something goals in that standard of football without somebody coming and saying, "Come with me, young man."
It's the price of success, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly the problem, isn't it? And it's up to Grantham now, A, to have got a decent fee, and B, the hard job is to replace him. So he's gone, and we're going to try and get Speedy in between his holidays in Cornwall. George Lepley, well, I keep trying to actually get in here, but I'm not quite managed yet. Kilda Rally, well, I've driven around Kilda Forest, or obviously roads that you can go on around Kilda Forest. And yes, if you do go off-road, you don't come back on the road very quickly. So I can see what his problem was.
Whereabouts is it?
Kilda, Northumberland. It's a massive, great dam reservoir they've built in the middle of a forest. And it is just, yeah, it's about twice the size of Nottinghamshire, so to speak. It is absolutely massive. And you sort of get in there and you think, am I ever going to come out of this? But that is just, yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. Finlay Bass hit in form at the right time. As Ivan says, battered the opposition.
Bass and battered.
Bass and battered. You would have had a field day,
honestly,
wouldn't you?
Headline writer's dream.
You would have actually had a field day of that one. I said we'd do some nationals because it's just me and thee tonight. We don't often have a me and thee night.
Just looking back to those headlines.
Go on then, yes.
What a cracking result for the tennis ladies against Gaunton.
Well, I didn't want to say it, but, you know, there's the sort of multi-millionaire tennis courts at Gaunton, and there's little old Newark,
That is a great result.
I didn't sort of like to go along
that
one.
Well, I think we ought to go along the lines of congratulations there, because Sue Bilton is a very good friend of mine.
Okay, I knew there'd be something in it. Let's go. I just want to go back to this week because it's been an interesting week. You sat back and listened to the Donny Age thing on TC Night while I sort of reminisced.
You know, like last night when you were talking about having Lynn Coombs in. You know, like during the fortnight when I'm away on holiday.
Yes.
Or as some people call it, the Betty Ford Clinic. But you promised me Newark's George Best, and you didn't bring this old bald bloke in. Well, what's all that about?
You haven't seen the picture on Facebook, have you?
Yes, I have.
You've seen it now, have you?
I've seen it now, yeah.
That's why it's Newark's George Best. And he actually played like Newark's George Best. Yeah. Yes. Enjoyed that, though.
Yes.
Enjoyed that. And last night we did a 2-hour special live from Cedric Ford Pavilion, and that last ever, as we call it, Newark Youth League. And it ended up getting a little bit emotional, didn't it, towards the end?
Yes. Just to the point where you said, now say a few words, Tony. Where I was filling up next to Ted Harris, who wonderfully filled up throughout the entire night, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
I say wonderfully. I thought it was the emotion of the occasion, and I didn't realise that Ted's wife had died prior to it. And
it was a hard night for Ted.
Yeah, and
in every way.
I'm glad I didn't know beforehand as well, because that would have made it even more hard to control.
Yeah, he was. He did very well to get through last night.
Actually, that was my next line. What a fantastic performance by him, knowing now what I know. Because he stood up and, along with Glenn Cobb, who was magnificent, those two conducted the evening. And it was only at the end, when Ted started getting his hugs and his compliments, that he eventually succumbed to the occasion.
I mean, we said last night, for anybody that wasn't listening, I mean, this goes back to... I don't know Ted very well, because we've never sort of... Our paths have never met in anything that each of us done in... You, of course, would have dealt with Ted year in, year out.
Yeah, and for most of the working week as well, because there was always something cropping up and Ted had find out another fact or whatever, or make a correction. We were on the phone several times a week for many years, and he was the... I'd just like to repeat what I said last night. If he's not the football legend, then, as Mr. Clough said, he's certainly in the top one. You know, I mean, he just is a remarkable, remarkable man.
When you used to sort of, you know, going back to Newark football, you would have Ted and Chas Jackson. Did you ever get anything done?
Monday mornings, in the old days, Chas used to come in about 10:10 on the Monday morning, and I'd get a phone call from the front office. Tony, there's a Chas Jackson in the front office for you. I thought, well, that's the next 90 minutes taken care of. And Chaz used to talk me through every single game and every single goal scorer,
and you still got it wrong.
But he was, honestly. Did you know that Chaz Jackson kept a record, a scrapbook of the 1966 World Cup? And in 1967, because of that, he decided, why should we have something like that in Newark? And actually was one of the co-founders of the Newark Alliance on the basis of the World Cup in 66. Yeah, and it was Chaz and his scrapbook that launched what we now know as the Newark Football Alliance.
Yeah. There you see, he comes up with some gems.
And Chaz Jackson also met me one night in the old Holy Trinity Social Club, and the Holy Trinity Bar area. And
shock horror.
And showed me this scrapbook, and it is meticulous.
I can imagine. Chaz was.
It's quite a remarkable feat.
Chaz was absolutely meticulous in everything he did. This isn't meticulous, but it's genuine.
Just one more.
Yes, Tony.
Chaz Jackson.
Yes, Tony.
On the night in question, we were sat together watching Nottingham Forest versus Wimbledon on the television, and the new Trent End was being built, and Forest fans will remember the incredible Stan Collymore goal, where he picked up the ball just inside his own half and ran past Donny Hage style 5 or 6 Wimbledon players and put the ball away. And there were two blokes in hard hats on the...
Yes, there was, yeah.
I went, hey! And yeah. Chaz turned around to me and went, there's not many there tonight, is there?
Yeah, I remember the... Because the builders used to sit there.
Yeah.
Brilliant. An Argentine football player has caused outrage by admitting he used a needle to hurt his rivals during a cup match last Sunday. Genuine. Federico Allender, a defender for the lower division club Sport Pacifico, bragged in a radio interview about using the needle several times against strikers of top division club Estudiantes. I thought, well, I don't know the name Estudiantes, and no memory goes back. Man United played him in a World Club Championship, and they
World
kicked
Club
United to death, didn't they?
Nobby Styles got sent
off. That's right. That's where I know Estudiantes from.
1969.
It would be somewhere, wouldn't it? Anyway, Alan Day said the players had to be clever in order to win. Pacifico's president, Hector Moncada, vowed to expel the player. We are devastated. The incident has tarnished the team's good work. I will expel him from the club. Mr. Mondeda told the local newspaper. It could be you. Pacifico won the match 3-2, knocking Estudiantes out of the competition in a major upset. The players were received like heroes in the small western town of General Oliver. When he knows John Wayne. When they returned from Buenos Aires, where the match was played. He must hate me, but it was a good atmosphere that turned sour with the bad news. I kept piercing the Estudiantes strikers with the needle, he said. We all know that top division players don't like contact. They don't like it if we waste time or play dirty, so that was the way to do it. Football is like that. Football is for the clever. South American football expert Tim Vickery told the BBC that Alan Deere had two needles in his shin guards. One broke, but when the referee was at the other end of the field, Alan Deere used to poke the Colombian striker, Juno Otto, several times.
Bizarre.
Well, that's one way of putting it. From the bizarre to the ridiculous, England captain Ewan Morgan, he's the Irishman, says that there was no home advantage after his side was thrashed by Pakistan in the Champions Trophy at Cardiff. The hosts were dismissed for 211 on the pitch previously used in the group stage games and lost by 8 wickets. Tournament rules prevented the use of a fresh pitch for the semi-final. I mean, it's not an important game, is it? So just use an old pitch. Going into the game, knowing that we're going to play on a used wicket, potentially brought Pakistan's game closer to their home, he said. But his opposite number, the Pakistan skipper, had no complaints. He did. I think the pitch was fairly good. It was good for both teams. I think we play very good. That's why we won today. The tournament's three venues, Cardiff, Edgbaston and the Oval, all hosted group stage games, but the International Cricket Council's policy prevents the preparation of any additional pitches for the knockout stages. Well, isn't that just a load of utter...
Unbelievable. It's just, why... Why play Pakistan on a pitch that resembles Karachi when it's in our own country? If you can, well, it is the England and Wales Cricket Board, isn't it? When it's on our own back garden, and you prepare it like Karachi.
I thought the whole art of cricket was preparing a wicket to suit you. I mean, when we go to Australia, the rock hard and to suit their fast bowlers.
Well, it's like Ron Alsop, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Trent
just
Bridge. Clive Rice and Richard Hadley told him exactly what sort of pitch they wanted, and then it was not 246 for 3 and then sort of batting along nicely.
Yes.
And I just...
But isn't that the way it works? And it's always worked.
It always has worked until you involve the ECB. I wonder what those initials actually stand for.
And suddenly we have to have fair play. Birmingham City have made a contract offer to former Chelsea and England captain and your friend.
I was delighted about
John
that.
John Terry, according to the Blues boss Harry, I'm not letting you speak yet. The 36-year-old left the Premier League champions at the end of last season after making 717 appearances and winning 13 major trophies in 22 years. However, he only featured 14 times last season. We've made him a good offer. And we have done the best we can, Redknapp has told TalkSport. It's up to John now, but we would love to see him at Birmingham. Go on.
When I was the Leeds United supporter on the Kop in the early 1970s, every time Birmingham City came to Elland Road, they just parked the bus and they were just incredibly boring. The best thing to have ever happened to Birmingham City was Trevor Francis. I've just always disliked Birmingham City strongly, and it just seems like a perfect marriage to me.
So I think it's probably fair to say you're not the biggest John Terry fan, are you?
That's Stan the man.
Not that we take sides. Moving swiftly on, you like this one because you can equate to this next story. Ryan Burnett's world bantamweight title victory over Lee Haskins was scored incorrectly, the IBF has said. Burnett 25 won satisfied by a split decision, as two judges had him winning 119-107, but a third had him losing 118-208. How can he be that far out?
Well, apparently, where does the third judge come from? The erroneous judge?
Well, his name is Clark Samianto Marino or something like that.
Yeah, well, he's been told by the boxing authorities that he will never referee again or never a judge again in this country.
The IBF statement said there has been an error with the scorecards and the decision should have been unanimous. The error of this nature and at this level of the sport should not have occurred. He added in a statement, one of the scorers after each round was reduced on the individual scorecards to the incorrect fighter. After the fight, British Board Boxing Control General Secretary Robert Smith told BBC Sport he will not be coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if it's any consolation to you...
It doesn't help the fact that Newark R&M First 11 should be top of the table, no.
And they're not.
Because of...
You.
Yeah. But, as I said to somebody, if you make that mistake again, then you are rubbish. But if you learn from it, and each mistake you make, you're only going to get better. And
that's how you're using this one, is it?
It will never happen again.
So what do you reckon then? Just finish off, and I know we're a local sport, but we haven't done any national for a bit. The Southampton manager's got the push.
I think that's ridiculous.
Right. On one hand, they finished eighth and got to the League Cup final, which they should have, well, I'm not saying they should have won, but it didn't go their way, thanks to some...
It was their first cup final since... Is it 2003?
Anyway, thanks to some inept refereeing, they didn't win. What? Yeah. Anyway, right, so they didn't win it. But they got to a cup final, and they finished eighth. On the other hand, they didn't score in their last five home matches, and they scored 17 goals in 19 home matches in the league. And... when they went away, it was park the bus time. Now, ba-dum, do you want eighth in a cup final? Or do you want to see more than 17 goals in a season? Manchester United fan, I love Man United. Man United fan was on the radio tonight and he said he would rather win 1-0 than draw 5-5 because you get two extra points. That's what it's all about. Is it?
Yes.
So they shouldn't have sacked him then. Because they finished eighth.
If I was a football manager, keeping a clean sheet would be every bit as important as the 3 points. And I would hate to be involved in the 5-all, but very happily I'd take a 1-0. I agree with that. You get the 3 points and it means all the hard work you've done on the training ground during the week with your defenders and defensive midfield players has paid off. If you keep a clean sheet in any game, that's worth an extra pint.
You just have to be careful what you wish for. Right, we've heard more than enough of Mr. Smith. We're going to talk to somebody with some common sense now. We're going to talk to Rob Orgill. Rob, good evening.
Good evening. I think you've got the wrong number. If you
Well, you said it before Tony said it, I think. Thanks for your time, Rob, because I know you're a busy man this week. You're out and about on travels and you've got lots to do, so to spare us sort of 5 minutes, okay. Really do appreciate. I want to look back at the Gordon Wellborn week. It was last week, Thursday nights, we traditionally look back and look forward. And now the dust has settled on the Gordon Wellborn week, shall we say, and all the facts and figures are done and filed away for another year. And what I want you to do, Rob, really, is just... give us your verdict on the week.
I thought it was a really excellent week. You know, it brought out a really good atmosphere, lots of runners, There seemed to be a sea of yellow, not fast runners, a sea of orange Striders runners. Unfortunately, not so many blue and grey quarters of Newark AC, but you know, we had some, which was positive. Everybody was enjoying their running. A real mix of abilities, and some fantastic running from, if I'm allowed to say it, some of the older runners. I mean, Richard Hallam was fourth overall, and he's over 50. I'm not knocking over 50s, but you know, that's a jolly good effort, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, you look down here at Chris Dunn, who was 13th overall. He runs as a V60, but he's actually 70 this year. You know, he was 13th overall for the week. It's truly marvellous. And he roughed me up on Friday night in a nice way, of course, and he and some others have asked for a veteran 70 category for next year, and a couple of ladies have asked for a V65 category.
Well, but again, you asked for advice. I think that's wonderful, Rob, because you make a point every year of saying, look, has anybody got anything? It's not, I coordinate the event for you all, but if anybody's got any ideas, please let me know. And it's lovely to see that they're actually coming to you.
I don't want it to become the sort of Robert Orgill dictatorship. You know, it is a club event. It's put on to promote running in and around Newark. Feedback is welcome. Otherwise, it will stagnate. You know, and we don't want that. I thought it was really good. You know, several people came up to thank me afterwards. Several people have sent me emails afterwards. All positive. It's just that the older people who clearly use their bus passes to get there, they want their own age category. And that's fine. We'll just bring it forward to, you know, a little bit earlier when they have to pay to use the bus.
have you got any woolly hats left?
Woolly hats. Well, somebody from Radio Newark took the last but one. And then the president's daughter declared she wanted one as well. So, no, I have another 30 on order. So if anybody ran and didn't get one, my apologies. Contact me through the Newark AC website. If you go onto the Gordon Wellborn section and contact us, that sends me an email. And I will make sure you get one. If you give me your name and your race number. I'm fairly confident everyone who ran got one. The helpers, which we are wholly dependent on and extremely grateful for them giving up their time, most of those didn't get one. So hopefully they'll get one before the winter arrives.
The press got one.
The press got one.
You kept that quiet as well.
The headline of the week, Rob, was one over 100 runners every single night.
I
did ask if anybody knew when that last happened, and I think it's the question is if it ever happened.
Well, I've been doing the results since 2001. Clearly, you know how boyish I look. I started very young doing those results, and I can't remember a single, you know, every night of the week having 100 runners in that, whatever it is, 16, 17 years. We've never had 100 runners every night. Some nights we've had over 100. You know, we've had 130 in the 10K before now, but never have we got 100 each night. You know, and I think the biggest night was Tuesday, where we got 114, despite pretty dreadful weather.
The weather wasn't on your side, was it, really, for the start of the week?
It was good running weather.
Yeah.
You know, it's disappointing people were standing around and getting wet. But, you know, in terms of a light drizzle and it not being too hot, it's really nice to run in. Not so good for playing cricket in, but, you know, it was actually not bad. Friday night, it was actually getting a bit warm. I think, you know, we everyone was grateful that we put out extra water at the end of the event, and I think some of the helpers were fetching and carrying water like there was no tomorrow to keep that working. So that was good.
It's not all about winning; it's all about taking part. But there has to be winners, and the two headline acts. One of them Well, you could have probably written that one before it started. I didn't know he's now won 20 Gordon Wellborn races on the bounce.
Yes, he's won every race for the last 4 years.
Yeah, which yeah. again must be a record, I would have thought.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, we used to be dominated by Mark Jenkins and Steve Morton a few years ago, both local runners running for Newark and Mansfield. They never did a you know, every race for 4 years. So yeah, hats off to him. So it's unfortunate that he's moving out of the area.
But he says he's coming back for the Gordon Wellborn next year.
Well, yeah. I'm keeping his trophy just in case he doesn't come back. and it looks very nice on our mantelpiece. Let me tell you. Yeah.
You can't have it. The lady that won it was a lady from Southwell Running Club, and
Katie Simpson.
No. When I saw her, I thought, I know you. You know, isn't it awful when you think, I know you? I'm sure I know you.
Right.
And she come up to me on the Friday night and said, you're Mick, aren't you, from the football? I went, yes. You know, as you do, and take two steps backwards. And it turns out that her brother used to play for the Notts under-18s alongside Gary Atwood when my daughter was going out with him, Chris Peets.
Well,
you know Chris Peet, Tony.
Yeah.
It's Chris Peet's sister. And then, of course, yeah, bang, straight away I know her. So it's lovely to see somebody who I've not seen for 20 years, and there she's running and winning.
Well, and she ran. I mean, overall, you know, she was seventh. She was first woman, against men of all ages and women of all ages, she was seventh overall for the week, which is a jolly good effort.
It's a phenomenal achievement, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And at the other end of the scale, and it is all about persistence. There was a lady that number 77, as they all called her.
Number 77, Zoe Smith.
Zoe Smith. There every single night, and we all clapped her in every single night. And, you know, that's what I thought it was all about.
It was, and I have to say, you know, Zoe said, she came up to say thank you on Friday night, and I was really touched by this. And obviously, after organising five events and poring over my computer to do the results, I'm not at my most engaged, I have to say. So, you know, Zoe came up to me to say thank you. So I was really touched by it, and she also came up to say she'd never run a 10K before, and she'd never run five nights on the trot, and she'd really enjoyed it. So, you know, I really do applaud the effort that she put in. We did actually have a discussion earlier, who puts in the most effort, the people at the front winning or the people lower down. And you know, the people lower down, they're certainly getting better value for money because they're using the course a bit longer. they're putting in, it's just as important for them to get round as winning, and not everyone can win.
No, they can't. You know, you have to have the Adams, we know that, but there's over 100 more that took part and enjoyed it. Yeah. And they did enjoy it, because they won't come back on the next night and the next night and the next night, would they?
Yeah, and indeed, Kate Fisher, who's the secretary of Not Fast, Kate said on Monday, she said, I might not be running very well, I've got tonsillitis. And everyone said, well, you shouldn't be running. You know, you go and have a rest. No, she said, I can't miss the Wellborn week, it's part of my year.
Oh, it's...
You know what...
It's in the diary, though, up there with the big sporting events of this town, isn't it?
It's, you know, first full week of June is the week we try and get it, because it misses various other events. Misses the Notts 10, which is tomorrow at Home Pierpont, misses the Grantham Summer Solstice, all you know, good local events,
yeah.
Big local events, but we don't like to go head-to-head and compete. So, yeah, it's a success. I fear I'm under pressure to organise the 33rd Gordon Wellborn Week next June.
It's expected of you, not under pressure. You're doing it. You're booked in for it.
Okay. whatever you say, boss.
Yeah. You don't escape that easily.
That's very true. Very true.
That's a tough defence you've put up there, Rob.
Sorry?
That's a tough defence you've put up there.
Well, I do try, but no, it is enjoyable. And I say, when people come up to you and say, thank you very much, I've really enjoyed that, I've never run a 10K before, it does, to use a training tool that I was on a training course yesterday. It moves you up the mood elevator. That's all about. No, if you think about it, I can come in and bore for England on this. You know, if you think about where your mood is, whether you're really engaged and high up that elevator, or you're really disengaged and low down it. It depends on how you interact with people, where you are on that. And yesterday's training course was all about trying to be higher up the mood elevator all the time.
After I've sat here an hour with Tony Smith four nights a week, I think the elevator's broke.
No. In that case, you need the mood excavator. Bigger trench under it.
Don't encourage him.
If you think about, and sorry to digress from sport, if you think about when you're at your best and you're engaging with people and working best, you're usually in a pretty good mood. When you're really miserable and really fed up and want to go out and kick the cat, if you're allowed to say that these days, you know, you don't engage very well and you don't achieve much. So it is quite an interesting subject. And I had 8 hours on it yesterday.
Right! my mood elevator is always much better when I talk to you, because I know very well you're going to make me laugh. So come on then, tell us one.
All right. Well, interesting tale. This guy was had been employed as a human cannonball. Yeah, human cannonball. Anyway, the company changed hands, and they were debating whether or not to fire him. But one of the seniors in the new organisers said, "Well, we don't get many candidates of that calibre."
Oh, no.
Wasted.
It got no. There was a pause. There was a pause, but we got it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you another one. This one's truly dreadful. Even by
he's
my
still laughing from Pearl and Dean.
that was good. Funny.
Sorry, no, the other one is about the chap who had some omega-3 thrown at him. But it was quite all right, because his injuries were only superficial.
Yes. Rob.
It's bad, isn't it?
Rob.
Bad.
This is why we love you so much. Here it is. Thank you for all that you did on the Gordon Wellborn Week, because I know what you say about it's not the Rob Orgill Week, but, you know, without Rob and Louise Orgill, it wouldn't happen. And if it didn't, it wouldn't be as good as it was. It was a fantastic week, and we look forward to next year. But we'll have you both back in the studio very soon for an update.
Yeah, and just a reminder, I'm paddling the canoe for Louise next weekend. She's doing three races, one after the other, a 5, a 3, and a 1 mile, in some lake up near North Allerton. So that's going to be interesting.
Is that this coming weekend, or...?
No, it's the following weekend.
The following weekend.
24th.
Right.
24th, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
keep us informed.
But just a final little plug for runners. The day after that, the 25th, it's the Collingham Fun Run.
Yes, so, I must get involved in that, yeah.
Yeah, if anyone wants to run, Collingham Fun Run, organised to raise funds for the Collingham Toddlers group, I understand.
That's on a Sunday then, isn't it?
That's on the Sunday. I think I'm down to do timekeeping or something. When the former president, Mr. Owen Yeomans, phones you up and asks for support, you know, we all rally round. So that'll be a good little run for local runners if they're interested in another run.
Excellent stuff. Well, we'll all have a catch up there.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Rob, thanks so
take
much.
And sorry about the jokes, everybody.
Lovely. Yeah. Thanks,
okay,
Rob.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
There is only one. Rob Orgill. Let's have a look at what's going off in the national headlines. Or maybe we won't, as the case may be. Let's try again.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
The British and Irish Lions have an injury concern over fly-off Owen Farrell just a week before the first rugby union test with New Zealand. He was named as a replacement for Saturday's tour match and with the Murray's All Blacks, but he has had to pull out with a quad strain. Johnny Sexton starts at number 10 and Dan Bigger takes over Farrell's spot on at the bench. Leeds Managing Director Agnes Kinnear says the new boss Thomas Christiansen is a long-term appointment who can only guide them into the Premier League. The Danish-born former Spain international is joining the Championship club after leading Apel and Nicosia to the title in Cyprus. Christensen may not be too well known to Leeds fans, but can they tell Sky Sports? That shouldn't matter. Sorry, I can't stop laughing at that one. Joanna Konta is into the quarterfinals of the Nottingham Open Tennis. She comfortably beat the Belgium in straight sets 6-4, 6-1. The British number one will take on Australian's Ashley Birtie in the next round.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Our producer said to me, if you're going to read out the headlines in a sponsored sports bed, be serious. That was what he said. You've got to be serious. How can anybody be serious when the Leeds managing director's surname is Kinnear to start with, what that brings, and the manager that brought in is a long-term appointment, and his claim to fame is he managed a club in Nicosia in Cyprus to the title. Come on, Tony, you're a Leeds fanatic.
I think it's good that after Rob Ogle to have some comedy on the show.
He won't last August out.
When they say long term at Leeds, that means till Tuesday.
Oh, dear. And the producer says you've got to be serious, and he gives me a story right that to read.
I used to support Leeds United fervently, but I also loved Morecambe and Wise, and these days there's not a lot of difference between the two.
Sorry, but I've gone on that one. I've read Gary Monk. They've got rid of Gary Monk, and they've got a chap that won the national title in Cyprus
with a team that's clearly unpronounceable,
and that's a step forward. It's
It shouldn't matter that no one's ever heard of him. It's not joking here, is it?
Well, that's the other worry.
Dear me.
That's the other worry. I saw what he could do at Newcastle. Right. The headlines. Let's just look back. Let's have a look back at the last 7 days in Newark. Of course, we've had some good laughs in the last 7 days, and it was dominated, of course, by Adam Holland in the Gordon Wellborn, and he won the Yeovil Marathon, and he won the Exeter Park Run, and he found Exeter. You know, so all those things added up. It was a pretty dramatic week for Adam, without announcing that he's leaving Newark and moving back down to the West Country.
I think the biggest athletic story of the week, however, is how quiet he kept about getting that woolly hat.
It's a good one.
You'll have to bring it in and show me.
As Mr. Olga will tell you, the fact that they got 100... over 100 every single night goes down to the power of radio. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Have you seen the Advertiser today?
Is it still out? No.
Basically, yes, I picked up the sports leaflet this evening just before I left. And some poor person has had to write out every single result of the Gordon Wellborn Week. And Lucy said, poor Tim. Nobody ever said poor Tony when he was doing stuff like that.
Why don't you just put, please look on the Newark Athletic Club website for details. It's been up there a week.
There's no room these days for that many words.
Okay. Amelia Crispin.
The Pocket Rocket.
The Pocket Rocket won the Leeds Tri-Star. I mean, she sat there, didn't she? Bless her. She sat there and says, if I come in the top 20, I'll be ever so pleased. She won the blinking thing. She got told off by a granny for coming in jeans.
Well, she didn't get set up many times about that, did she?
No. But she did get told off by granny. This weekend, says he, changing books, the school's championships at the Alexandra Stadium in Birmingham. So Ben and Anna Smith are going to be in fine form and taking everything before them. As ever, it's the half Ironman that Dave Tilley told us about at Stafford this weekend, and it's the primary school's regional netball tournament somewhere in Deepest, Northamptonshire, which I'm very hopeful that Amy Fell's going to tell us about in about 5 minutes' time. But we're sending two teams from little old Newark there, but that's the weekend, and the sun's going to shine.
Yes.
It says so on the BBC. The BBC says it's going to shine. It will shine.
The forecast is fantastic.
The match of the day, cricket-wise, and despite what you're going to say, the match of the day, cricket-wise, Collingham against Wollaton. Third in Division A against top of Division A. And on a summer's afternoon, with the sun shining at Dale Field, I can't really think of many better places to be.
Caythorpe.
Yes, I know. I knew that. Harry Shepherd dived to stop a ball. The Collingham captain, being there, yeah, dived to stop a ball on Saturday and has done something to the top of his shoulder. One of the bones in his shoulder has jumped out above another bone.
Ouch.
And it's got to be put back. But he ain't going to be playing cricket for probably the rest of this season.
Really?
Or if it is, it's only going to be well into the second half of this season. So that's not so good when you're captains. I think Mr. Pipes has rang him up and said, you know, I used to be captain, I'm here.
is that David or John?
Probably John, actually. But the one man down, they're a man down.
Yeah. So, it was a nice lad as well, wasn't it?
But Collingham versus Wollaton will be a cracking game. Gedling versus Balderton. Bolton's gone from fourth to sort of seventh, and there's that bit in the middle. They could do with a couple of victories. That's what they want. You know, that's what they're really looking for. Gedling's not an easy place to go to, though, so they're off to Gedling. Fiskerton and Ferguson. Is that the way to join forces? Well, it works sometimes and it doesn't work other times. It obviously seems to be working with these two clubs. 3 miles apart the grounds are, so, you know, it makes sense, don't it, in a lot of respects. They're playing West Bridgeford. So they should win that one. And Farndon won last week.
Yeah.
Their first fixture season. Now, let's just hope that kicks them on a little bit. And but they're off to Gedling as well. A bus together. I hope it does kick them on a bit, because they're pretty marooned at the bottom of that table.
Yeah.
So that doesn't want to go. And then we get to Division E. Caythorpe versus Newark R&M. I looked at Caythorpe, 4 wins and 4 losses in their sort of form guide, so you don't know what you're going to get, really, do you?
Yeah, the mid-table. And as you say, you just don't know which Caythorpe's third 11 is going to be playing against you.
No, Troy Prince also got a game. I remember going to Caythorpe. The name's gone. The man at Simo's who loved his cricket. Come on, he was a boss at Winton Simpsons, and he got them involved at Trent Bridge and had knots down there and everything. And I've completely forgotten his name. It's completely gone. But he lived out at Caythorpe, so his father had to go to Caythorpe on a regular basis to sort of fetch him. This is going to annoy now, isn't it?
Yes.
It's going to annoy immensely, because we both know who we're talking about, and neither of us can remember.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Albert Bocking,
that's right. And I digress again. You know, when I was telling about Donny Age and I sort of idolised him, He used to sponsor a Sunday league match. And because his father was his chauffeur, he had to be there first. And because mother would, no way she was going to spend 8 hours at a cricket match, father was always allowed to take me. So he was there at 11 o'clock for a 2 p.m. start. So he was well watered by 2 p.m. And the food was lovely, and you're sitting out, you know, on that terrace there, and then you'll come in and watch Jono hit everybody all around the ground for the afternoon, and then they'd all come up and have a drink with you afterwards, and you'd sort of carry Albert out at about 10 o'clock at night, put him in the car, and father would drive home. But, you know, memories.
Exactly.
Memories. And most of them, it just seemed to be every Sunday league match I went to, Jono used to win the thing single-handedly. He was in his element, wasn't he, Paul Johnson, in that form of cricket? Absolutely in his element.
And I still maintain that despite all the developments that have taken place down the years, it's got to be the best cricket ground in the world.
Yes, because they've developed it
sympathetically.
Yes. You see, that's why you're the professional. You use big words. They haven't used what Prince Charles would call carbuncles, which is that stupid press centre at Lord's.
Additions to Trent Bridge have always fitted in beautifully with the existing surroundings.
Yeah.
And it is just the best cricket ground in the world. Lord's, I would put in the top three, along with the SCG at Sydney. But, whoa, what a cricket ground. To be straightforward honest with you, the 12 Mondays I spent from the 9th of January onwards were an absolute honour. It was in the dark and you couldn't see a thing, but just to be there and just to drive there.
Are you sure you was at the right place?
It was, there's no mistake in Trent Bridge, you can smell it in your blood.
Good stuff. What I think is going to be the highlight of the weekend for many revolves around primary school sports. So there's only one person to tell us about that, and that's the head of primary school sports for the whole of Newark and District, the wonderful Amy Fell. Amy, good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You're good. I know you've had a busy night, so we've sort of hijacked this little bit away from your night. But it is a very special weekend coming up. Tell us about it.
Yes, so on Sunday in Northamptonshire, Tutor Reed and Barnby Road are both playing in the East Midlands Regional Netball Final that they both qualified from the county final for. So it's a huge achievement.
So to put it in another way, we've got numbers 1 and 2 in Nottinghamshire.
Yep. We have, yes.
Playing in Newark. I know you're going to have your Tutor Reed hat on a little bit, but you're going to have your Newark hat on, really, aren't you?
We are. It's a great achievement. We went to the county final hoping that one of us would get through. Obviously, Tutor Reed have been there the past 2 years in the East Midlands final as well. And it just so happened that we drew each other in the final, so we knew we were lucky either way, and we had both teams through. And for Newark, it's a great achievement.
I take it you've really got no idea of what you're up against until you get there, have you?
Yeah, 2 years ago in Leicester, the standard was so high. We went and the games, we were losing by 10, 12, 13, 1, something like that. It was a really high standard. Last year in Lincoln, the standard didn't seem to be as high, so we came away about sixth in national, in the regional, sorry, for East Midlands. So we got a few wins, a few draws, a couple of losses last year. So you just don't know what standard, what teams are going to be like. But there's 10 teams there on Sunday. First games are about 9:45, and the last game at 3:00. So it's a long day, and the weather forecast shows it's going to be really hot and sunny. So fingers crossed the girls will be all right.
It makes a change for your netball tournaments. It's normally freezing cold and windy.
Just adds another element to it.
Are you all going down together, or are the two sort of teams making their own way down there, or...?
We've kind of communicated about what times we're leaving, so we're roughly leaving a similar time. But no, we're travelling separately, and we've got to be there for about 9:00, so it's quite an early start between 7:30 to get there.
It is going to be a long day, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It really is. Oh, well, Amy, give both schools our very best.
I will. Get you some pictures.
Get some pictures, and... Keep us informed, if you would, and I'll talk to you again one night next week, Monday or Tuesday of next week, and you can tell us all about the day.
We've got a few sports events next week. We've got pop lacrosse and the athletics for the Sports Association next week as well.
You're going to be a busy girl, aren't you?
We are.
And it's a presentation evening coming up very soon.
5th of July.
5th of July. There's no sports show that night, Tony, because I'm going to the presentation evening. There you go.
You'll get lots of pictures there.
That's it. So we're going to... Amy, we'll talk to you early doors next week, because it's a busy week, as you've just said, and we'll keep in touch all through the week. But let's start with Sunday.
Yes.
And let's fly the flag for Newark, and the best of luck to both schools.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, there we go. We're about at the end, and Tony's going to have a 2-week rest Now he's, as he said, he's going to sort of check into the Betty Ford Clinic again, or as we like to
again.
Call it, as we like to call it, the Tony Smith Clinic, and they only name after the regular guests. So we're halfway through the year, Tony, and what would you? I'm going to throw this one straight at you. You weren't expecting this one. What's your memories of the first 6 months of 2017, sitting in that chair and listening to what's going off, and occasionally putting some sort of sensible comment in, and regularly making normal comments?
I take the mickey out of you.
You do?
When you introduce the youngsters and you fill the studio with young footballers. But the most massive impact I've had in the first 6 months is when the New at Town lads came in and you got 9-year-olds talking about autism. That blew my mind away. Then the way they spoke about it was just with genuine honesty and humour and concern and, you know, compassion. And I just wasn't expecting that night. The Donny Hage night was the best show we've done by a long way, and it was a lovely, lovely evening. The joke he told me in the car park afterwards was hilarious, but, and people who know Donny will not believe that, but it was funny. But when those kids started speaking about autism, I found that as gobsmacking as, you know, anything that's happened this year. That was just absolutely delightful to witness.
And while you're actually missing, one of your greatest friends is coming in. Megan Williams is coming in to see us.
Well,
and she's going to talk about Chad's fight. But that takes you back to another night when you were sort of sitting there thinking, "Wow."
That night we could, but neither of us could speak, because what she did that night for her sport, nobody at any age or in any capacity or any standard within the sport of kickboxing, nobody could have spoken better. She was world class.
It's yeah, and they keep on coming, don't they? Yeah. You know, and at the other end of the scale, and I know it was only last night, you've got Ted, who's, you know, drawing a line over a lifetime. He said he put 28,000 registrations through.
I went round to Ted's house to do a Christmas feature about Ted Harris, and he was sat there making a model plane, as he does with his Airfix paints and all the rest of it, and his house is full of the most magnificent models. And anybody like me who loves model planes and was Airfix nuts as a kid, it was like entering Aladdin's cave. It's wonderful, and it gives him so much enjoyment. And he worked his socks off for the Newark Youth League. And I was so saddened to hear about his wife dying, but he has hopefully, you know, going to have a wonderful retirement.
I hope he does. I really do. And that's it for the first 6 months. We'll see you again on Monday. At least I will.